So wonderful, though, I sing that psalm with you about, you see that clear procession of Christ's bride, the church, coming up to be married to him, the king, the husband of the first part of Psalm 45. Notice how beautiful you are. Notice how good you smell. And in particular today, that's the focus of our text, typified by the tabernacle's apothecary. And we turn to Exodus chapter 30, where we've left off. We'll read the remainder of chapter 30 in Exodus, verses 22 through 38. And I remind you of what I won't spell out again today with all of the texts in Exodus and in the New Testament that demonstrate everything about the tabernacle is figurative, that is typical of a fuller reality in Christ and in his church, and in particular, after the last day in the new heavens and the new earth. But it's also true of you and I now as the spiritual tabernacle and temple of Christ. So we'll be looking for that prefiguration of what is meant to be true of us today as we serve him and forever in heaven perfectly. Hear now the word of God and let it sink into your hearts. Exodus 30, verses 22 through 38. Moreover, the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, take thou also unto thee principal spices of pure myrrh, 500 shekels, and of sweet cinnamon, half so much, even 250 shekels, and of sweet calamus, 250 shekels, and of cassia, 500 shekels, and the shekel of the sanctuary, and of oil, olive, and hin. And thou shalt make it an oil of holy ointment, an ointment compound, after the art of the apothecary. It shall be an holy anointing oil. And thou shalt anoint the tabernacle of the congregation therewith, and the ark of the testimony, and the table, and all his vessels, and the candlestick, and his vessels, and the altar of incense, and the altar of burnt offering, and all his vessels, and the laver, and his foot. And thou shalt sanctify them, that they may be most holy. Whatsoever toucheth them shall be holy. And thou shalt anoint Aaron and his sons, and consecrate them, that they may minister unto me in the priest's office. And thou shalt speak unto the children of Israel, saying, this shall be an holy anointing oil unto me throughout your generations. Upon man's flesh shall it be poured. Neither shall ye make any other like it after the composition of it. It is holy, and it shall be holy unto you. Whosoever compoundeth any like it, or whosoever putteth any of it upon a stranger, shall even be cut off from his people. And the Lord said unto Moses, take unto thee sweet spices, stocked, and onycha, and galbanum, these sweet spices with pure frankincense, of each shall there be a like weight. And thou shalt make it a perfume, a confection, after the art of the apothecary, tempered together, pure and holy. And thou shalt beat some of it very small, and put of it before the testimony in the tabernacle of the congregation where I will meet with thee. It shall be unto you most holy. And as for the perfume which thou shalt make, ye shall not make to yourself according to the composition thereof. It shall be unto thee holy for the Lord. Whosoever shall make like unto that, to smell thereto, shall even be cut off from his people. This text made me remember something that Jennifer and I, and some of the children probably too young to remember, experienced in a church, a Reformed church in Pittsburgh we were attending for a while. We were not members. We don't share all of its doctrinal commitments now, but at that time we did. It's why we were there. But something of their practice within the people was an offense to us, and it made it difficult for us to consider staying in the church and in the denomination, and we knew we were not alone. And I think one picture that was so shocking to me and stays in my mind can summarize this concern. Imagine we had a work day at the church, and it was up a big hill, and we would walk up and down to the church. We were painting over all of the idolatrous images within the church. It had been bought from a Greek Orthodox church, and so we were making it a proper place of worship. But I distinctly remember walking up and up the stairs into the door that would bring me into the sanctuary. And what did I have to pass through to get into that church? Now, it wasn't a day of worship. It was a day of work. But I had to pass through two young people in their 20s, one on each side of that door, smoking cigarettes. One of them a young lady. We learned this is not uncommon. In fact, at Memorial Day picnics, so young people in their teens passing cigars, you know. And there's another sermon in another day to consider that, how I think this is a danger to break the commandment of thou shalt not kill with what we know modernly. And I understand that there are many Reformed who think it appropriate at least to smoke cigars, but you can understand, especially cigarettes, the stink and the stench, having to walk through that stink and stench, it just affected the ability to think about worshiping within the body of the congregation. And we knew that that stink that influenced our own concerns about staying within the church, similarly, again, was a problem for others visiting the denomination. We'd read about it in their, not often, but some of their own ministers would write in their own magazines, "We got a problem. People who agree with us and come to us because of our doctrine and lots of our practice don't stay because of this issue. It's a stench, it's a stink that turns people away." And that's the concern we have to have with ourselves as we approach the Lord in worship here today. We see in the text that after the priests, last week we saw, after the priests wash at the tabernacle's brazen basin, they are to apply the apothecary's holy perfume of anointing oil and incense to be a distinctly sanctified fragrance in the church and unto the Lord and as a witness to the world, but especially a distinctly sanctified fragrance unto the Lord within His church. Remember, this is all typology of the fact that now you are the temple of the Holy Spirit. You are the tabernacle within which God dwells. And if you come here today washed by the Word, but not sprinkled with devout works and adoring worship, you stink to high heaven. Right now, you stink. Your present odor stinks. It offends God. You smell bad to Him. You might as well be smoking cigarettes at the door as all the rest of us try to come in. You might as well be smoking cigarettes as you sit right there in the pew. If you come here without having prepared yourself properly as meeting with your holy husband, not having any good works in your hands this week to share before Him, pious works, sitting down now and going through the motions and not really praising Him with wholehearted worship and not approaching Him with true praise and thanksgiving and joy, as is the anointing of Christ Himself in Psalm 45. If you don't reflect and share that sweet smelling fragrance of true heart worship, the sacrifice of heart worship, regardless of your circumstances, you stink. You are an offensive odor unto the Lord. As you approach the Lord in worship right now, prepare differently. As you get ready, as you prepare to partake of the Lord's Supper tonight, perfume yourselves with piety and praise. That is what we're learning here in the text. God would have you approach Him having prepared yourself by perfuming yourselves with piety and praise. God wants you not only to be clean before Him, but to smell sanctified to Him. What do we see in all the text? I didn't even number all the verses. It's too many to count. Holy. As it always has been and as it always will be, this is the prime concern of the Lord. He is thrice holy and He expects you to be holy. And all through the text, holy, 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 sanctified, solely. It's all there. The Hebrew word comes out even in different words. You don't see it as directly holy. He wants you to be holy. So He makes you holy and He wants you to be holy and expects you to be holy. Or we also see in verses 23 and 34 and 35, this idea of pure. He wants pure works and pure praise. That is to be without contaminants. That is not only to be basically clean of dirt, but to smell good because there's nothing offensive to it. Being holy, again, is to have been set apart from a common use to a sacred use on earth, to be holy that you would be some heavenly good. Verses 30 and 31. And thou shalt anoint Aaron and his sons and consecrate them, that they may minister unto me in the priest's office. And thou shalt speak unto the children of Israel, saying, this shall be an holy anointing oil unto me throughout your generations. But notice it says, unto me. Unto me. In both of those verses. That is, it is to be unto God. This is what the tabernacle is about. That you would come before Him and be holy unto Him who is thrice holy. Who has no contaminants. Who is perfectly, absolutely pristine in all His attributes. And so He makes you holy because you have to be holy even to be in His presence. That's the whole basis of your fellowship with Him, is a holy fellowship. Not only good companions, but the most importantly, that you'd be a good companion with Him, the holy companion, the Holy One. Your redemption is about your Redeemer. He bought you to display you in His house. He wants you not only to look good, He wants you to smell sweet. And that's a word we see in verses 23 and 34. He wants you to smell sweet. We see this word perfume a number of times in the text. He wants you to have the same effect as perfume has when you wear it. He wants your good works and your heartfelt praise to be there, because only that will actually smell good. He doesn't just want you to be clean in His house. He wants you to make His house smell good. This is the point of all the ingredients in the ointment and the incense compound. And it would be interesting to just go through all of those different spices and think about them. But you're familiar with some of them. Some of you may not be. But think of those which you are. I particularly can relate to cinnamon. Think about those different spices. And when you walk into a room and they've been ground and they're in your candle or in a drink, or the aroma, it's pleasing. You want to go in. You want to be part of that fellowship. And that's the point of all of these ingredients, all mixed together for the best, most beautiful smell. Notice it's applied to the priests and it's applied to the temple. This oil and the incense, it's especially the oil, it's applied, it's sprinkled, it's just touched a little bit of it. It's so potent, and it's to make everything smell so wonderful when it touches it. Now notice there's a lot of apothecary, verses 23 to 24. There's a lot of spices all mixed up together. There's a lot of stuff. But also notice also in verse 23, it's the best stuff. Verse 23, take thou also unto the principal spices. And it describes all these spices, but it's under the heading of principal. That word in the Hebrew means chief, like often the same word for head, leader of a group of people. It's considered the highest, most authoritative, or in this case, the most costly, the most precious, the best stuff. Also, the extracting process we'll consider later in a moment. The way that they get this apothecary, this oil is an extraction process that makes it most potent, incredibly fragrant, and it makes everything it touches smell good, and thus it makes everything it touches holy. Verse 29, God is reminding us in another image, you need to be holy. And you can understand how this would be a good illustration for us about how we're to be for the Lord in our life and in our worship. You recognize, you understand what it is to appreciate something that smells good, right? I'm thinking, you know, you walk through the mall and a place, I think called Bath and Body Works, right? I mean, you know what it's like when you walk and you're walking by that store? I mean, I'm a guy and I want to go in there because it smells so good. I just like to stand around and smell it and try to convince my wife she should think about buying something so I can just stick around. It just smells so good. It's so pleasant to go in there, or at least just walk by it. Turns around, wow, right? Or if you're walking through a department store and you go by the perfuming area, right? Isn't it fun? I like to take the girls and just a little spray it on their wrists, and then, oh, And then what does dad start doing? Come here, let me smell your hands. Oh, you know, I'm chasing my girl. Let me smell your hands. Oh, he smells so good, you know. That, you understand what it's like. And that's what God wants us to be like to Him. God wants you to turn His head and attention towards you by way of His nose. By how you smell. He wants you not only to shine His light, but to bear His fragrance. God doesn't just want clean fellowship with you. He wants sweet fellowship with you. And so God has anointed you with the sweet smell of His own Son. Look at verse 30. In chapter 30. And thou shalt anoint Aaron and his sons, and consecrate them, that they may minister unto me in the priest's office. Now this sermon on this verse could take a whole different direction, but we're not going to go there because of the amount of time and attention we've given to it in the priestly garments. But here we have, frankly, the main focus of this ointment is the consecration or the setting apart of the priest into a formal office in the church. And it is an office you must be put into. Hebrews 5, nobody makes himself a priest, not even Jesus. And quoting the Psalms, God makes him a priest. And that relates to the ministry, not only of the word, which we have seen in the evening sermons, but also the ministry of the sacraments that will be touched upon in part of the catechism tonight on the administration of the sacraments. It must be done by a minister. Now, we're not going to focus on that as it relates to authority in office, but you do want to recognize what their office is doing. The anointing of the priest is setting them apart for their ministry, and it is prefiguring the anointing of Jesus Christ for His ministry to make you smell good. First, we see it prefiguring the baptism. Jesus is anointed. Remember, the oil always represents the Holy Spirit. Zechariah 4, also seen in Revelation. The Holy Spirit is represented, symbolized by the oil. So in Matthew 3:16, Jesus is anointed into His ministry by the baptism of John, and the Holy Spirit comes down and anoints Him. Just like any prophet, priest, or king in the Old Testament, they are anointed, set apart, and officially put into their ministry on behalf of the people. Jesus, of course, being our prophet, priest, and king, truly. So we see at His baptism, He is anointed with oil. But we also see at His burial, the mixture of myrrh and aloes. The very same thing you see within the sweet-smelling things in our text today. John 19, verse 39. Nicodemus brings all a mixture of myrrh and aloes, all these the sweet-smelling apothecary compound to put on His body and make Him smell good. And frankly, why do you need to do that then? Because, you know, as they said of Lazarus, Lord, it's been 4 days, he stinketh. You see, death stinks. Death rots and stinks. And Jesus comes to make you clean and alive and not stink. He gives you eternal life and He'll resurrect your bodies never to stink, but be alive. But it came by way of His dying, and so it is burial, what's typified here, the mixture of myrrh and aloes. And verse 23, you see myrrh as one of these parts of the apothecary. It also foreshadowed His birth. Matthew 2, verse 11. Myrrh was there again at His birth, brought to Him at His birth. Exodus 30 again, verse 23, but also frankincense in Matthew 2, verse 11. Exodus 30, verse 34. You see, Christ's birth, death, burial, and resurrection are all being typified here. The sweet smelling of all of it in terms of what it will do for you, what it will do to you. God anoints all His household in this text by His priests, and it makes everything and everyone, including themselves, sacred and sweet. That's the tabernacle system. It makes you holy. It makes you smell good to God. It's only His way, but His way will do it. The king has his own royal fragrances that he gives to his queen to be married to him. This is the king, God at Sinai, and the people are the queen, as expressed in what you sang today in Psalm 45, verses 8 and 11. All thy garments, speaking of you, the church, clearly we see this in the text related to the husband, the first part of Psalm 45. He speaks of you, his church, Psalm 45, verses 8 and 11. All thy garments smell of myrrh and aloes and cassia out of the ivory palaces whereby they have made thee glad. So shall the king greatly desire thy beauty, for he is thy Lord. And worship thou him. Remember, we saw in that whole part of the second part of Psalm 45, the gladness of the bride, dressed so beautifully, and perfumed so lovely, smelling so wonderful, coming down the aisle, the virgins following her, with joy and gladness as he has because they're coming together to be married. But notice that includes what any bride would do, getting perfumed before the wedding. God's tabernacle system makes his people smell good. And it is typifying what Christ really does for you in the church. He makes you smell good by his system of salvation. You see, beloved, God didn't just wash you with water. He used soap. And he didn't just wash you with water and any soap. He washed you with soap that is a scented soap. It smells so good. You know, some of you ladies, I think often through the secret sister, will give different gifts, sometimes sweet-smelling soaps. Well, they end up on my counter in our shared bathroom, and it's great. I use it too. What do you think I do when I wash my hands? Very often, I smell them. They smell so good. That's the idea. He washes you with scented soap. He makes you smell good in his washing of you. But he doesn't just wash you with scented soap. Then as you have dried, he sprays you with his perfume. He makes you smell good with his holy fragrance. This Hebrew word for anoint in the text could be smear. We have the idea not of this massive smearing, though. If we understand the makeup of how this would all work with a little bit of oil, it's just a little bit of stuff that just touches or sprinkles. And it relates very much to the way the author of Hebrews talks about the Old Testament and uses the same words for baptism in the Greek. About this and these temple things. You see, just a little bit of it, it's so potent, it smells so good, just like any, you've got to be careful not to put too much on, right? You walk into an elevator and somebody has too much cologne, tends to be the man. Sometimes women, it's like, whoo, that's a lot. You know, just a little bit, just a little dab will do you. And it's just a touch of Christ's holiness, his blood and the water of the Spirit. A little goes a long way when Jesus touches you, beloved. A little goes a long way, goes all the way to his heavenly bedchamber, as typified in the Song of Solomon. Here's an important connection, the Song of Solomon. It's not a long read. You might read that today for your devotion. As you prepare to be perfumed as you come back and sup with your husband at this date of the Lord's Supper tonight. The Song of Solomon is the description of King Solomon and his bride, desirous of one another, desirous to go to bed together in holy matrimony. And they speak of one another's physical attributes and including the way they smell. And then they speak of it and the joy of it after they have been married. And it is intended by the illustration of a husband and wife, as God so often does, Old and New Testament, especially go to Revelation, but also Ephesians 5. It is illustrative of what God has done for you in Christ and the relationship you have with him in Christ. And it's just this glorious relationship that smells so good when it's the holy bed of matrimony, as Hebrews writes. Song of Solomon, in part, chapter 3, verses 6 to 11. The wife speaks as she gets ready to approach her husband. She thinks about how good he smells. "Who is this," she says, "that cometh out of the wilderness like pillars of smoke, perfumed with myrrh and frankincense, with all powders of the merchant? Behold his bed, which is Solomon's, the midst thereof being paved with love, in the day of his espousals and the gladness of his heart." That's Song of Solomon 3, 6 to 11, parts of it. You see, the wife is saying, "Here comes my husband. I'm getting really excited. I can't wait to be next to him. Oh, he smells so good. I just love to smell him." That's how we're to approach Christ. He smells so good. And it's his good smell that makes you smell good when you're married to him by the covenant of grace. And so he speaks of you the same way. "How fair is thy love." Solomon speaking of his bride to be your wife. But it's really representing Jesus speaking about you, his wife, as is sung of in Psalm 45. Jesus says of you in Song of Solomon, "How fair is thy love, my sister, my spouse. How much better is thy love than wine, and the smell of thine ointments than all spices. The smell of thy garments is like the smell of Lebanon. The plants are an orchard of pomegranates with pleasant fruits, with spikenard and saffron, calamus and cinnamon, with all trees of frankincense, myrrh and aloes, with all the chief spices. See that again? Chief. Principal spices. Awake, O north wind, and come thou south. Blow upon my garden that thy spices thereof may flow out. Song of Solomon, chapter 4, verses 10 to 16. He says, I hope there's a breeze because my bride smells so good. I want that breeze to bring her fragrance to me. This is all imagery. It's all symbolic, but it's speaking of you and the church. Christ smells so good, and thus he makes you smell so good. This is the relationship that Christ has entered into with you. Ephesians 5, verse 2. Christ hath loved us and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. But how is it that Christ has made you a sweet-smelling savor? How is it that Christ, in his role as the God-man, the mediator, how is it that he smells good to God and thus makes you smell good to God? Paul says there it's because he offered himself up as a sacrifice. And you see a lot of those things, especially one of the elements, I believe it's the spikenard, is a reed, a plant that it smells good when it is crushed. And that's where the perfume, the good smell comes out of. Christ had to be crushed to make you smell good. Christ's sacrifice for you smells good to God. So you must offer sacrifices of yourselves to him. You must keep preparing yourself to smell good to your husband. And what wife doesn't like to do that for her husband? Verses 32, 36, and 37 says, holy unto you, or unto thee, three times. It's not just that you must be holy unto God. It's that you must be holy unto yourselves. You must want to prepare yourself, as Paul talks about it, as Revelation talks about it, preparing yourself as a chaste virgin to meet your Lord in worship and in heaven. You have to want to prepare yourselves to be holy. You have to delight in it, just as you prepare for a date, whether you're anticipating marriage or you are married. You have to be holy to yourself. You have to desire that you would have pious works and pure worship to greet your husband with. You must prepare for holiness. You must prefer it and you must prepare for it. Verse 36, and thou shalt beat some of it very small and put of it before the testimony in the tabernacle of the congregation where I will meet with thee. It shall be unto you most holy. This idea of beating, it is you must make fine these spices with much effort. Now, there's a reason they charge you money when you want to go buy any of these things in the store. The ingredients are not free, and the process is expensive. That's why the best scents cost the most. And it's the same idea with how you prepare yourself unto the Lord with good pious works and joyful, wholehearted praise. It becomes a sacrificial thing if it's going to be real. And it'll never happen if you don't sacrifice, which is why he called you to take up your cross daily and die unto yourself, that you would produce a odor that doesn't offend him but pleases him and is a sweet-smelling savor. And again, keep this imagery of preparing to meet with your husband. We kind of joke in the house, no Hollywood showers. We were on the Midway one time, and the retired guy was teaching us about the planes and how they use steamed water. And I used to talk about this with Mr. Alley. He said, oh yeah, you got about 2-3 minutes for the shower. You turn the water off, you soap up, then you turn the water back on, you rinse, done, boom. So you got to preserve the water. But we kind of joke, okay, that's frankly not how ladies usually do it. Who are the ones we're usually waiting on? The ladies. They got longer hair. It is their glory. They are preparing with appropriate makeup and with appropriate clothing and with beautiful smells. And frankly, we don't mind waiting, do we, Phyllis? We really don't. Oh, we might kind of complain, especially if we think we're running late, but actually, we love it. We love how you smell when you come out after all of that work, but it takes some time. That's why it takes longer. You know, I try to remember once in a while to put on cologne. I explain to the kids, they're like, what's that? Well, they don't know because I hardly remember to ever use it. But when I do, what does my wife do? She wants to smell me. I say, cologne is perfume for men. But you see, it takes time. It takes effort and preparation. And that's what God is calling to you by way of diligent, deliberate sacrifice of yourselves. That you would actually have holy works to offer Him and wholehearted praise because you prepared your heart to want to do it when you get here. Now, the commentators explain that the way this apothecary, this anointing oil was made, it was actually extracted by soaking it in water and boiling it for days until the fragrance, the smell was distilled from the materials so that it was really, really potent, that it was really, really pure and thus very, very fragrant. You see, getting out everything else. Distilling it to its purity. Now, does that sound like something similar a little while back? The people are to bring what kind of oil for the lampstand, the golden lampstand? Pure oil. That is, no contaminants. But how do they get that pure oil? They have to beat it. There's a particular way of preparing it that they're supposed to do so that they get the best, purest oil out of it. What was the reason for that? So that this pure, holy oil would burn without smoke and would burn without a stench in God's house, which is you. The same thing with the perfume. You are to work hard to prepare it so that you smell great. And it takes hard work. It takes deliberate preparation before you ever get here on the Lord's Day. It's a daily, weekly thing. But the preparation is not just that it is a great effort. It is also to be an exclusive thing. It's to be an exclusive scent unto the Lord. You are His wife and you are no one else's. And He has a particular smell that He wants you to wear. And it's called holiness. And it's not how the world smells. Verses 32 to 33. Upon man's flesh shall it not be poured. See, because this is actually for the priests. But we recognize we're all priests. This is typological, but it's not just to be on anybody. Upon man's flesh shall it not be poured, neither shall you make any other like it after the composition of it. It is holy, and it shall be holy unto you. Whosoever compoundeth any like it, or whosoever putteth any of it upon a stranger, shall even be cut off from his people. Now, verses 36 to 38. And thou shalt beat some of it very small, and put of it before the testimony in the tabernacle of the congregation where I will meet with thee. It shall be unto you most holy. And as for the perfume which thou shalt make, ye shall not make to yourselves according to the composition thereof. It shall be unto thee holy for the Lord. Whosoever shall make like unto that to smell thereto shall even be cut off from his people. There's an idea of this careful preparing of the perfume that his people would be exclusive, representatively in terms of this is just for the priests. But now we are all a greater degree. While there's still a distinction of office to be understood, and you've heard a lot about that both in Exodus and in the larger catechism series of late. Nonetheless, we remember we are all priests. This is typifying his whole church. And you are not for worldly use. And your smell should be nothing like the world. You should have a distinct, exclusive smell only for your husband that he likes, and you don't care what any man thinks or anyone else in the world thinks because you only are married to your husband. I love how Mrs. Maxwell was sharing with me last week, not related to fragrance, but it was a sweet-smelling fragrance to her pastor, in a sense, about her husband. She was sharing how she'd go anywhere her husband wants to go, talking about houses and things they were considering. He says, because you're my husband and I love you and I'll go wherever you want to go. That's the idea. You're my husband, I love you, I'm only yours, I'll smell however you want me to smell. I don't care what anyone else thinks. I seek to please you. It's not for worldly use. It's for holy use. You are not for worldly use. You are to smell sweet to your husband, Jesus Christ. Verse 38, literally, and this is kind of hard to see in the English, but it says it is to, you could translate it as making it to be wide, spacious unto. And he says, don't make it wide, don't make it spacious unto. That means don't be focusing on the broad road of the world that leads to destruction. Everybody stinks along that road, and they will stink as they burn forever in hell. That smoke that forever rises up, a fire and brimstone. You don't want to go there. Don't dress for it. Don't perfume yourself for that with the ways of the world. It's not to be tread under the feet of swine. You are to be holy. You are to be unique. You are to be narrow-minded, focused on me and smell for me, or else you will be cut off. Verses 33 and 38, it said twice, if you don't perfume yourself for the Lord and instead you're trying to look and smell like the world, you will be cut off if you try to be common instead of uncommon and holy and set apart. Now that's a familiar phrase if you're remembering your scriptures. Where else does that come from? Genesis chapter 17, verse 14. Whoever will not be circumcised or circumcise their sons, that is, whoever will not take the mark of membership upon themselves and their children, even their servants in my body, the church, will be cut off from his people. Where else do we see it? The other sacrament in the Old Testament, Exodus 12, verse 15, the Passover meal. Whoever will not take the Passover meal and do it as I say shall be cut off from his people. And that means, at the very least, excommunication, but it probably also means execution. Hear this warning. Ecclesiastes 10, verse 1. Dead flies cause the ointment of the apothecary to send forth a stinking savor. So doth a little folly him that is in reputation for wisdom and honor. Hear this warning, Isaiah 3, verse 24. And it shall come to pass that instead of sweet smell, there shall be stink. Well, that was Isaiah. What was his ministry? What was his preaching ministry? To condemn and send away an unfaithful, whore-like church. And so they were. They didn't respond in repentance. They stunk. And so they stunk in God's nose and he sent them away from him. Think also, though, again of Noah. After God cleansed the world of all the stinking people, Noah offered up on the altar a sacrifice. And it says it was a sweet-smelling savor unto the Lord. And so he said, I won't destroy the world like that ever again. You see, you're a preservative even for the world, like salt, savor, we'll talk about in a moment. But don't lose this idea of smelling good. And don't lose the idea of that you should enjoy smelling good and preparing to smell good for your husband. Like a lady perfumes herself before she goes on a date, or like spouses perfume themselves before they go to bed. You should delight in preparing yourself to meet with your holy husband, preserving yourself for him. And we see in verse 35 this idea of preserving by the perfume. You know, you get used to your own scent and you want to have the right scent that you're familiar with, that it preserves you into the end and the perseverance of the saints. Verse 35, when it speaks of tempering these things together, literally it could be translated salted. It's actually salted. Are ye not the salt and savor of the earth? Matthew 5, verse 13. Remember the Song of Solomon again. Here in chapter 1, verse 13. A bundle of myrrh is my well-beloved unto me. He shall lie all night betwixt my breasts. That's the way that God talks about his relationship with you and what should be your eager desire to be with him. As if you were husband and wife, consummating the marriage, smelling good and holy in his holy bedchamber. But Christ will meet you along his narrow, private way. It will only smell good to him. And it will only smell good to his body. You are a savor of death unto those who are dying with Satan. Your smell is a savor. It stinks to those who are dying. But you are a sweet savor of life unto those that are living in the Spirit. Now that's 2 Corinthians 2, verses 14 to 16. And in particular, he's talking about what it is to be a preacher. Preaching hardens some and it softens others. Or in this illustration, he says, preaching smells good to those who are living in eternal life, and it stinks to those who are on their way to hell. It only has one of two effects. But the thing is, it's the same for you. If you are perfuming yourself for Jesus Christ, you will smell good to Him in the church, and you will stink to the world. They won't want to be around you. And if the world is around you like flies, then you really need to be concerned about how you smell. That is, how you are preparing yourself and for whom. Christ, in Psalm 45, verse 7, says, "Thou lovest righteousness." It is said of Christ the King, just before it speaks of you, the church, the bride, "Thou lovest righteousness and hatest wickedness. Therefore God, thy God, hath anointed thee with the oil of gladness." So, beloved, if Christ is anointed with gladness, so should you be. So should your anointing and your self-preparation and pious works and holy, true, wholehearted worship and praise. So should your anointing in Christ smell of righteousness. So should your anointing in Christ smell of rejoicing. And both are self-sacrificing. A reminder, He had a self-sacrifice to make you smell good to God. And you have to sacrifice to make yourself smell good to Him. That's important to remember. You're going to stink unless you try hard and care about preparing yourself. You don't smell like perfume unless you've been careful to perfume yourself. Both are self-sacrificing. Often, you don't want to do good works. It's not in your old nature. You have to work hard to put off the old, put on the new. And that smells good to God. That's a perfume, these holy good works, this pious life, also understood and translated as godliness. You don't often want to worship the Lord. You don't often come here feeling like worshiping because of all kinds of things going in your life. It is a self-sacrifice to do it nonetheless, to prepare yourself that when you get here, you want to be here and you want to worship Him. And in fact, you find the only comfort you have is to come and be embraced in the arms of your holy husband who takes you and will carry you into heaven and will see you through all the difficulties of this life. As we see in some of the romantic movies, let Him carry you as you cling to His neck through all the difficulties of life. And you worship Him when you come to Him like that. But it's a sacrifice. The Scriptures speak regularly in the book of Hebrews in the New Testament, in the Psalms of the Old, and other places in between. They speak of the sacrifice of praise. Philippians 4, verse 18. "But I have all and abound. I am full, having received the things which were sent from you, an odor of a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God." It isn't just that it pleases God when you do this kind of life, this pious life of praise. It will also please you, beloved. Ecclesiastes 7, verse 1. "A good name is better than precious ointment." You know, there's a Men's Warehouse commercial that the president usually says, "You're going to like the way you look." And you could say, when you do what we're talking about here to please God, you also are going to like the way you smell. You're going to love it compared to the way you might stink sometimes and reek of unrighteousness. You're going to like the way you smell when you perfume yourself for your lover. Anointing oil. Don't forget the oil is a symbol of the Holy Spirit. God wants to smell your perfume, not only in good works, but true adoration. And you may be doing good works, but come with a hard heart or a proud heart about them, and you'll stink. You'll be offensive. Rather, He wants you to be pouring out your alabaster box, a very costly ointment upon Christ's head. And He wants you to be wiping His feet with your tears of love because of what He's done for you, because of what He's made you, because of who you now are and what you will now look like and what you will now continue to smell like. Piety and praise are the perfumes that He desires. how he wants you to approach him. Verse 23, they are considered his chief, most principal spices. The question is, beloved, will you so prepare? Will you so approach? Imagine a wife approaching her husband alone, without perfume, without embracing, with a blank stare or a distant stare, as if spending private moments with him as an acquaintance, or even worse, as a stranger. That kind of presence would stink and turn him away from her. Rather, beloved, anticipate every Sabbath with joy and with gladness. Prepare to meet your bridegroom in his sanctuary. Dance with him at your reception. Prepare to enter into his bedchamber. And tonight, prepare to commune with him across your Lord's table. May your skin, may your soul be sanctified. May it be scented with sanctification. May you perfume yourselves with piety and praise. Lord Christ, thank you for making us clean. Thank you for making us smell good. Help us to continue to wash by your word and keep clean. And help us to continue to go out of our way to prepare ourselves to meet with you by perfuming ourselves, continuing to keep ourselves smelling good, like the church and not like the world. May we indeed offend the world with our smell, but may we only please and attract you with our scent. May we indeed, O Lord, offer up ourselves with the sacrifice of pious works and wholehearted praise to be a true, sweet-smelling, attractive savor and aroma in your nostrils, that you would desire to come and hold us and smell us and kiss our neck and speak wonderful, lovely everythings in our ears, and may we so eagerly want to hear them. Prepare us, Lord, for worship again this night. Prepare us, Lord, for your holy supper, our holy night out dinner with you, our husband. Help us to prepare for it. Help us to prepare for it, that we would smell good to you as we sit across the table from you. We pray all these things in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.